You mentioned certain words that were words like Sheol, Hades, and I think Tartarus. So I was wondering, when he says death and hell were cast into the sea, sorry, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The word there is Hades. So maybe just to what is the lake of fire as different from Hades? I'm
It's,
sure.
yeah, the lake of fire is a final judgment, a final place of torment. Hades is when you, if you die right now as a sinner, you'll go right to Hades, okay? And it won't be a very pleasant place. It'll be a certain torment, what have you. However, it talks here like, and when the 1,000 years were finished, those in this death and Hades situation are brought up before the throne of God and rendered a final judgment and then sent into a lake of fire, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago as a final judgment, but also with some kind of a resurrected, what should we say? Some kind of a resurrected body. What did Daniel say? Here, let me read it in Daniel again, in Daniel 21, because I believe this is the, or Daniel 12. I mean, this is the time of that final judgment. He says, let me, yeah, verse 2 of Daniel 12. Oh, sorry. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Amen. So there's going to be some kind of resurrection at the end of this. Even for the wicked. What was, I know we had a term, we found the term resurrected to, oh, I can't get the exact words. A resurrection to a corruptible body of some sort. What is it, Opie?
Resurrection. There is a resurrection.
Oh, Edie, Brother Edie, yeah.
I'm saying that in the New Testament, there's a resurrection unto damnation.
Yes. A resurrection unto damnation or a resurrection unto life. So the resurrection from Hades, okay, is unto damnation, eternal and forever, lake of fire. So in Hades, what you have is the souls of the dead. But as a soul, it's a, I think Jesus described it in the rich man. Okay, he lifted up his eyes in torment. His eyes, his tongue, thirsty. He could see at that time before Christ, he could see over the gulf, and he could see Lazarus, he could see Abraham. But he was in heat, he was in torment. But his body was buried in the earth. But it was his soul that was in Gehenna, which is Hades. Now, this is something different, I believe, that we have in Revelation 20, because Gehenna and Hades are the same thing. One, or Sheol, I mean, Sheol. Yeah, Gehenna is the lake of fire. Hades is the Old Testament. I'm sorry about that. Thank you, Rita, for correcting me. Hades and Sheol are brought up to a, what did you call it, Brother Edie? Resurrection of damnation or corruption?
Damnation.
Damnation, yes. So there's, even though we have a spiritual body now that we're going to have, there is some kind of something else given to them of a body. It's still a spiritual body, but it's apparently more than they had in Hades. And that is going with their soul into the lake of fire. That's the way I see it. Maybe you can help me. You see it different.
No, it's something that now I've not been able to call up the scripture. So is it the same word that was used for the rich man if he woke up in Hades? The story about the situation with Lazarus and the rich man. So the hell there, is that hell Hades?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, that's Hades.
Okay.
But it's not the lake of fire.
Yeah, yes, I understand. I'm getting understanding now that if an unbeliever is somebody who has not received Jesus, a sinner dies, his soul goes into Hades. It's like a place of awaiting. It's like somebody has been found guilty. Somebody is found guilty and is condemned, but he has not been executed. So they leave him in the prison, awaiting the day of his execution. So he can still have some fried chicken. I know, I hear that the American prisons are very nice. So he's awaiting the death execution, but he can have chicken, he can walk around until, except that he cannot come out of the prison. Until the day of the execution, then he's finally taken away. So understanding that Hades is like that temporary place. And that looks like the place where, because if they didn't get born again and they die, they become demons. So I'm thinking that it's from that Hades that they come around. You know, it's a dry place. It's a dry place. And they come around going up and down, seeking help and finding none. You know, so I'm understanding that.
Yeah, those demons that are going about from dry place trying to get into our lives, they're in hell, they're in Hades,
yeah.
But they're not in the lake of fire. Yeah. And to me, the term, the bottomless pit, the abyss, I think is almost synonymous with the lake of fire, because the abyss is a worse place than just being in hell. Remember the spirits that were in that man from across the lake, the Gadareans? Those spirits begged Jesus not to send them to their torment. All right, they were already in hell. They were already demons, but they weren't in their final place of torment because they said it wasn't our time. So Jesus permitted them to go into the pigs, and they promptly killed the pigs so they could get out and go after human beings again. Now, should we be able to send them to the abyss now? Well, Brother Dusil says yes, it wasn't their time then, but it's their time now, and we can start sending them in. These demons that try to torment you in the night season with all kinds of wicked stuff, send them to the abyss. But here in Revelation 20, now whether there's several places that the Lord has them or not, I'm not sure. Opening up the bottomless pit seems to be releasing things that are neither neither the lake of fire nor the Hades that we're talking about. There, I believe there have been some fallen angels that have been locked into the bottomless pit for a long time and are being released or rarely released. Brother Campbell had a vision of this place, and he says there are some terrible, horrible demons that are locked up in this place that can't be let loose.
You know, I think some of these demons are starting to be let loose now, and we're seeing it with some of this craziness that's going on right now. Anyway, I wanted to just say a couple quick things. It's interesting the things that God brings to our minds, you know, like as the word was going on today, here's what came to my mind. Sometimes we have to experience something to really understand it. And I want to give you an example of what I mean. Back in the 80s, I did something called Herbalife. Some of you probably heard of it. Well, in Herbalife, you took five or six of these herb pills and you made a shake with this powder, and you had to do that for two meals a day. And the third meal of the day, you could eat anything you want. Well, I did it faithfully for 2 months, okay? And for starters, I lost 18 pounds. And I got so cleaned out inside that just the thought of donuts or French fries or anything like that just turned my stomach. All I wanted was just nice, clean vegetables and fruit. And if I drank a cup of coffee, I could practically crawl up the wall, across the ceiling, and down the other wall. And one glass of wine, and I had a hangover the next morning. And you know those little round candies you get after a dinner at the restaurant, you know, a little peppermint thing or whatever? One of those made me dizzy. And that's how cleaned out I was inside. And my point is, before that, you could have talked to me till you were blue in the face about how I'm going to feel when I'm cleaned out. But until you do it and experience it, you just really can't fully understand it, you know? And I think that's what it's like with God. We've got to really experience God, you know? And one of the other things was, I have four sons, and when one of them was about 10 years old, I guess he was, maybe Levi, we were going fishing, and we used to cut a little stick, you know, off the tree or whatever that had a fork in it like that, and we'd stick that in the ground, and then we could put our fishing pole in the fork, you know. So my son Levi says he wants to go cut the stick, you know, so I hand him my pocket knife, and I said, okay, well, be careful, you know. And so about 3 minutes later, he comes back around the corner holding his hand, crying, and he's bleeding. And he says to me, why'd you let me use that knife? And I thought to myself, that knife just did what I couldn't do with 1,000 words. And never again did I have to tell him to be careful with a knife. You know, it's just like once you experience something, you really know it. And then I had one other little thought about experiencing something back in the, oh, I don't know, it might have been in the 90s, maybe. This book came out called Experiencing God. And on the cover, there was this just absolutely gorgeous picture of this man with this big, flowing, beautiful beard, you know. When I looked at that thing, I just thought, that's got to be Isaiah. It was just breathtaking almost, you know. And all the churches everywhere, I mean, thousands of them were buying this book and doing a Bible study on this book called Experiencing God. And so I was looking at that book one time, and God spoke to me. And he said, if that book would have had a plain brown wrapper, it probably wouldn't have sold a copy. And so that just goes to show you how people, you know, just the cover of that book is what made it popular instead of the content of it. Who knows if it even had any truth about God in it, you know? So anyway, we need to really experience God to understand even like some of the things we've been talking about, you know? So I just want to encourage everyone in that regard.
These are mysteries, spiritual mysteries that are in the Word of God that I believe are being revealed to us in these last days because we're being prepared to be a partaker of these things that are going to be happening very soon. That we will understand and not have the wrong ideas about what it means to be a king and priest, what it means to be involved in the great judgment that's coming upon this whole world. Brother Edie, did you get your question answered satisfactorily?
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. And then I've been encouraged to go and look at it some more, but it's okay.
Okay.
It's well explained.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, let me turn the recording off then. Here.